Afternoon Theatre. The Shetland Wildcat, a play for radio by Anthony Keary.
Good evening, Signor Paul. You finish early today, huh?
Yes, indeed, Signora Ficelli.
That is because you have been very clever.
I'm not so sure I was clever, and I don't think the students were. Not in this heat. Class is dismissed until this evening when it becomes cooler.
Now, see, Firenze is very odd. All the people's not working have left.
Except the British, who would decide to hold a course in Florence in August. Just my luck.
Today, you have good luck, Signor Paul. You have a post.
A post? A letter? In Italy in August? Well, that's not luck. That's a miracle.
No, not a letter. No, not a miracle. See, telegram.
A telegram? Let's have it. Well, I'll...
Is it Benny? Is it good news? Is not bad?
No. No, I don't think so. Not bad. My sisters got married.
Married? Your sister? Well, it's good news. It's very good.
Yes, but...
You know, like your sister to be married?
No. Hmm? Oh, yes. Yes. It's just that it's a little unexpected.
You are a surprise.
I'll say I'm surprised. I didn't know a thing about it. Not a single solitary thing.
She make a big secret, huh?
A very big secret.
But you must be happy for your sister. It's good for a girl to marry.
Oh, I am happy for her. Very happy. But you see, Susie Wong...
Who is Wong?
Oh, that's a joke name I call Susan. From when we were kids. Well, I don't know how Susie's kept it to herself. It generally all comes bubbling out. We've never had any real secrets from each other. Well, that's what's so strange.
She has been in love before. What age she is?
21. 22. 5 years younger than me. Yes, she's been in love before, I suppose. Well, most girls are, aren't they? But nothing ever serious.
Yeah, never has been a big affair. And she always tell you, but this time is love. He's married as a husband to tell a thing or two is a swap off a foot. But in a 2 or 3 or 4 days, she remember and write. In a 2 or 3 or 4 days.
But she didn't write. Not in 2, 3, 4, or 14 days. Well, that's why I've flown over. I had a spot of leave and thought I'd congratulate the happy pair. And now you tell me you don't know where they are.
But, Bob, I don't.
Look, Celia, I'm all for friendship and respecting privacy. And no one wants to take their in-laws away with them on the honeymoon. But I'm not only Susan's brother, I'm her next of kin. I ought to know where she is. I won't suddenly arrive on their doorstep. I'll send a note of congratulations. I haven't been able to do that, even.
Neither have I. Neither has anyone. Oh, Bob, I'm not hiding anything. I'm not sworn to secrecy. I know nothing to be secret about. I tell you, the first I knew of it was coming back from the office and finding this note to say she was married and would write. And that's all I can tell you.
But she must have said something.
No.
Oh, come off it, Celia. You can't be flatmates with a girl for over a year and not meet the boyfriend. Even if you only pass him on the doorstep. But she must have said something about Basil Wexford.
Bob, she didn't. It was all very last minute and very secret. Well, I'd never even heard of him until I found this note.
What about her friends? Did she confide in anyone else?
Not that I know of. Of course, I asked all over. Everyone we knew. But no joy.
Her colleagues at work? The oil company, Conch.
Well, one day she was at her desk, the next gone. She'd given in her notice, but not told anyone, if you see what I mean.
Yes. It's sort of Irish, but I know what you mean. What about the rent? Is it paid...
Perfectly all right. We're paid up to the end of the quarter.
Ah. Well, when she comes back for her things...
They've gone.
Eh?
Her things have gone.
When?
Well, I suppose when she went off with this chap Basil. I came back, saw the note, and found the cupboard bare. Here's her room. You can see for yourself. There's nothing of hers left here.
You looked in all the cupboards?
Well, of course. You can have another look if you like. You won't find anything, not even a hairpin. Wish my room looked a bit more like this instead of an old clothes shop. You could never accuse me of tidiness. Satisfied?
Yes.
I could do with a drink. I don't know about you. I wonder, would you mind being barman? I must get ready. Fred is calling for me in half an hour. He's taking me to some fab new restaurant, so I want to dolly up a bit. If you want more ice, it's in the fridge.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to detain you. I won't stay.
No need to rush off. As long as you don't mind me shouting from one room to another or fluttering around half naked, you can take your choice. Oh, can you see my lighter?
Now, where did you leave it?
On the settee, I think.
Just a minute. No, it's not here. Unless it's slipped down between the cushions. No, it's... Ah, yes, found it. Oh, and this, too.
What's this? Wait a minute, I'm decent. And I need that drink. Oh, and the light. What else did you find?
Your map. It was tucked down the side of the settee.
I'm not surprised. Half my things end up under cushions. But that's not mine.
Ordnance Survey. The Shetlands. Well, when did you first notice it?
Well, I don't know, really. I think... Oh, yes, I remember. It was when I was tidying up after Susie had gone. You know, making with the Hoover and so on. It was on the table.
And you hadn't seen it before? Did she ever mention the Shetlands? Talk of going there before Basil came on the scene?
Never.
That's where she is, I'll bet. Now, where's the nearest airport?
You don't know she's there.
Here we are, Sunborough Airport. Oh, thanks, Celia. Give my regards to Freddy. Tell him I'm sorry I made you late, but it was all in a good cause.
He's heard that excuse before. If you find Susie, give her my love and send me a postcard, one of those fat ladies.
I'll do that. But I doubt if I'll find any Angus McGills in Sunborough.
Flight from Kirkwall, Aberdeen, Edinburgh and London has landed. Passengers for onward transit to Oslo, please...
Father said he'd be meeting the plane, but I can't see him.
Perhaps there's a message for you, Jenny, at the inquiry desk. I'll take your bag if you're going over.
You don't have to, just because we met on the plane. All right, Bob, this way.
I don't know when I've enjoyed a flight so much. You're a good listener. I hope I didn't bore you.
Don't worry. I would have said... Excuse me, is there a message for me? Wilson.
Wilson.
Jenny Wilson.
Yes, here you are.
Oh, thank you. Oh, he's delayed. Bang goes your lift, unless you want to hang around for another hour.
Well, I...
You needn't be polite. I have plenty to do. Father wants me to check some invoices at the freight building.
I'd be quite happy to wait.
You'd be much better to take the bus. Better still, is that all your luggage?
I always travel light. Why?
It's only a step or two along the road and it's a fine day. You could be there before the bus. Come with me and I'll show you the way. To the right by the hut. Take the path to the left when you come to the gate. Turn left and straight down the road.
Did you say turn left at the gate? I couldn't quite hear.
Yes, I did. It's the helicopter. They're in and out all the time from the oil rigs.
Oh, yes, of course. I'd forgotten.
What with the duty shifts and the VIPs, it's just like Piccadilly Circus. Well, that's what we locals say. Just down there to the right, where Mr. Wexford's talking to the pilot. Those two men over there.
Did you say Mr. Wexford?
Yes.
Well, he's the man I'm looking for. At least I think so. Excuse me, Jenny, I'll be right back.
You'll find me in the terminal building.
What time is the run tomorrow, dear boy? Not at the crack of dawn, I hope.
No. Nothing like that, Mr. Wexford. 7 o'clock. But we lift our spot on time. No waiting.
You won't have to wait for JJ. I'll deliver him with my own hands. Oh, and thanks again, Harry, for acting as postman, taking those papers to JJ at the rig. Much appreciated.
Oh, any time. Glad to be of service.
You'll find some bottles of Highland malt at the hotel with our thanks.
Well, that wasn't necessary.
We'd like you to have them, dear boy.
Well, so long as you'll join me in the first dram.
With pleasure, Harry. We'll drink to the last week of drilling and a successful outcome.
Yes, I'll do that. I hear your field is likely to prove very successful, Mr. Wexford. Till tomorrow, then, if you'll excuse me.
Mr. Wexford?
Yes?
I'm Robert Paul.
Oh, yes?
Susan's brother.
Susan's brother? Oh, yes, yes. How stupid of me, of course. You must excuse my surprise, but I wasn't expecting. We thought you were in Italy.
I was, until a couple of days ago.
Until you decided to track us down,
eh? Something like that.
I obviously have a clever brother-in-law. Robert, did you say? How do you do? I'm Basil.
How do you do? And congratulations.
Thank you very much.
How is Susan?
She's very well. She will be surprised to see you. You're coming back with me now, of course.
Oh, thank you.
Let's find the car. Come along, dear boy. Have you any baggage? Only that. You do travel light.
Well, I had no idea whether I would find you here or whether I was on a wild goose chase. I was really only following a hunch.
It proved correct. Most fortunate. You haven't fixed anywhere to stay, have you?
No, I haven't. But I don't want to put you to any trouble.
None at all, dear boy. Susan will be delighted to have you with us. Talking of Susan, I think I'll give her a ring and tell her the good news. The phones are just inside. Why not wait for me at the bar? We might drink each other's healths, don't you think? I won't be a minute.
Give Susan my love.
Your business didn't take long, Bob. Was he the man you wanted?
Yes, I'm going back with him. He's giving me a lift.
You know each other, then?
No, but he's my brother-in-law.
Your brother-in-law?
Yes. He married my sister a few weeks ago. We're meeting at the bar. Why don't you join us?
No, thank you, Bob. I must see to Father's invoices.
Jenny, when will I see you again? Jenny!
I thought you'd be at the bar setting him up, old boy. Susan sends her love and says that we've time for one, but not to delay too long. She's dying to see you.
Your being here is the nicest surprise, Bob. I feel like a little girl at a Christmas party, sitting here with the two men I love best in the world.
I'd have brought a present for the party, for the wedding. Why didn't you let me know?
Well, Basil thought...
It was a very quick affair. Registry office, special license. Wouldn't have been worth your while, dear boy.
Anything to do with Susan is worth my while. Always has been, hasn't it, Susie Wong?
Yes, Bob. Well, we should have told you. But at the time, well, it was important to Basil, wasn't it, darling?
It was vital, my sweet. More wine. Might as well finish the bottle. Susan?
Not for me.
Bob?
Thank you.
You see, dear boy, I was in the middle of a business venture... I won't bore you with all the details. Sufficient to say a great deal of money was involved. It became important that people should know where I was, what my movements were. I had to go to ground. The difficulty was...
Me. I was the difficulty. We wanted to marry, and Basil refused to disappear and leave me hanging about. So we both disappeared. Oh, we didn't mean to worry you.
I suppose if you hadn't obliterated your track so thoroughly... I can understand the secrecy in Basil's case, but why in yours?
If it had been known that Susan was connected with me, there are millions involved. We couldn't take the risk. Hence the vanishing trick.
And how much longer do you have to remain in hiding?
The deal goes through this week.
I was writing to you a long letter. Reams and reams. I'd so much to tell you, Bob. I think writer's cramp was about to strike when Basil telephoned.
You were always very good at writing, Susie. Much better than I was. Still, I kept to our pact.
You did. You kept in touch. You see, Basil, after the parents were killed, we went to Aunt Nora. She was sweet, but hadn't a clue. And when Bob and I went to boarding school, we made a pact to keep in touch. To write to each other every week, even if it was only nonsense. We've held to that ever since.
Until now. You haven't told me where the two of you met.
At my office.
At Conchoyle?
Yes. Our meeting was quite extraordinary. I was typing out a survey report on his part of the seabed. I looked up, and there was Basil.
A complete coincidence, of course, dear boy. I was coming away from a meeting at Trade Relations. Took what I thought was a shortcut.
And landed up at my desk.
I didn't know her, she didn't know me.
You obviously got along like a house on fire. Two houses on fire.
Well, yes. But we didn't have long together. I was called away to another office almost at once.
Hard luck. So when did you really make contact?
When I got back. About 20 minutes later. Basil had waited for me all that time. Wasn't that sweet?
I expect he found your report interesting. Didn't you, Basil?
What do you mean?
Didn't you look at it? I always take a look at what a secretary's working on. inbuilt curiosity.
I suppose it depends on one's background, dear boy. You haven't the advantage of parental control as we had.
Tell me something of your parents, Basil. You're an Anglo-Irish family, Susan told me.
One of the very best. Father, a pillar of the diplomatic. Very strict.
And your mother?
Ah, that's where confusion set in. Very Irish.
And she outlived your father by many years.
Far too many years, my dear. She so loved the horses and was such an inveterate gambler, she left nothing for her children to inherit.
Now, don't tell me you and Claire were deprived children, Basil. I wouldn't believe you.
No, my dear. We received all the advantages of education and background, and all the disadvantages of expensive tastes.
You've done very well, darling. Don't be modest.
One uses one's wits. One makes a crust.
Shall we leave the table? I think we've all finished.
I've a report to consider, my dear. Why don't you show Bob something of the grounds?
Would you like that, Bob?
I'm in your hands, Sister Susie.
This way, then. Oh, Basil, darling, are you coming after all?
Only to the car. I left my briefcase there. The day is still on our side. A bit different from Florence, eh, Bob?
I'm not complaining. It's too hot for comfort.
That is an exact description of Claire's driving. Look.
Claire is Basil's sister, and that's J.J. with her.
Oh, hello, darlings. Oh, isn't it a fabulous day? Oh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Susan, you didn't say you were having company.
It's not really company. Bob's...
Bob, may I introduce my sister, Claire? Claire, Susan's brother, Robert.
How do you do?
Bob arrived quite unexpectedly, out of the blue. He tracked us down like an Indian scout.
Basil, about this week's log, I must have the final substitutes by third... Oh, pardon.
JJ, we have a visitor.
Susan's brother, Robert.
How do you do?
J.J. is staying with us.
Oh. Hey, you're a visitor, like me.
No, not quite. I work offshore, on a rig.
And the most extraordinary thing is that his rig is exploring Basil's field. Isn't that a remarkable coincidence, after me working on the survey?
Yes, remarkable.
These things usually come in threes, don't they? I wonder what the next will be, darling.
The next has already happened. Bob traced you here.
Oh.
J.J., would you be an angel and go back for me? I forgot typewriter ribbons.
Yeah, I will go for them now. It will not take long, I bet you.
Thank you.
I will be back before you have noticed my absence, I bet you.
Susan, I'm going to borrow my brother, your husband, for a few minutes. Will you excuse us, Mr. Paul?
Susan was about to show me the garden when you arrived.
And there's no time like the present. Come on, Bob.
Lovely. You're looking very good.
My God, the cat was out of the bag then. He heard it all.
But it won't mean anything to him.
I wouldn't be too sure. There were too many clues. We'll be undisturbed in the study. Why did you invite him to stay in the house?
So that we can keep an eye on him. I thought...
You thought. It didn't occur to you that he can keep an eye on us. Like all your thinking, it doesn't go far enough. Why did you marry her in the first place?
I didn't want anyone in the oil company to know I'd seen those survey reports. They should have been marked secret. The only thing was to get the girl right away before anyone cottoned
you
on.
You still didn't have to marry her. Your trouble, dear brother, is you've never been able to resist that type of beauty, have you?
And if I do find her attractive, I've bought her silence, haven't I? A wife can't testify against her husband.
Oh, you think you're so clever, but you behave like a 12-year-old away from the apron strings for the first time. The first pretty face. Do you remember the illegal currency deal? The secretary who threatened to talk when you nearly went to prison? Who got you out of that mess?
I don't know why you always have to bring that up. It was 10 years ago, and we've done very nicely since. Made a lot of money.
Because you listened to my advice and we worked together. The minute you act on your own, we lose all our money.
I suppose you knew that modern art would fail, that the bottom would fall out of the market.
No, but I could have told you that the German insurance company would fail, and Kortline, and the mineral project.
They wouldn't have helped with capital anyway, the state the market's in.
We wouldn't have had to stake everything on the success of drilling... Oh, what's it, ridiculous? Name.
Operation Wildcat.
Yes, it sounds like Boy's Own Paper. but it fits this elaborate scheme of yours.
Only for a few days more, Claire. The rig goes south at the end of the week, and so do we.
It can't be too soon for me. Give me civilization. I don't like the people up here, and I know they don't like us. They're too inquisitive. They want to know everything about one. And incidentally, how did their brother-in-law know we were here?
He said something about a telegram and a map.
That's your precious Susan. We must find out whether anyone else knows where she is.
Yes. Can you tell me how many there'll be for dinner tonight?
5, please, Julie.
And the gentleman will be staying, will he?
He will. The gentleman, by the way, is my wife's brother.
Oh, that'll be nice for Miss Susan, won't it?
Julie, how many times must I tell you not to speak of Mrs. Wexford as Miss Susan?
I don't know.
Well, will you please not do so?
Oh, I don't know, I'm sure. Mrs. Wexford doesn't sound right to me. Will that be all?
Yes, you can go. That little bitch is becoming impossible, all because you couldn't resist a pretty face. You know, Basil, for someone with your background, you have very cheap taste in women.
That's one thing in common with many of the best families.
Who are you telephoning?
I haven't received the final drafts from Murdo yet. He was going to confirm that they've been sent and who's ringing them.
Oh,
I think the phone's dead. That's all we need. It was all right earlier.
Will Murdo know what to do? He won't panic.
No, he's reliable. He'll get a message through somehow.
Hello? Is that Mrs. Grierson? At the stores? Oh, it is. Well, will you please take a message for Mr. Wexford at the manse? I've tried to, but there's a fault on the line. It's very urgent. I'm phoning from Aberdeen. Ah, thank you. The message is, final reports ready. Shall I dispatch by helicopter as usual? Await your reply. Signed, Murdo. M-U-R-D-O.
Basil, I must have the money now.
The agreement was that you'd be paid when the job was done.
My friend Gaston would like that I pay for my share of the boat.
But you've done that already, J.J.
No, I've paid a deposit, a small part only.
It was all I had. How long have you been working on the rigs? 6 years?
8.
You must have made a fortune in that time. No. What have you done with it?
I bet a little here and there. Basil, you can make me an advance.
I can't afford it, J.J. Every penny's tied up in this scheme.
But now you are very rich.
Not yet, dear boy. We'll none of us be rich until the week goes off according to plan.
Why should it not, huh? My part will be okay. You do not think Murdo will let us down?
No, I don't. And you needn't worry about me. But the plan's delicate. It can't be rushed. Don't worry, you'll be able to buy that boat many times over.
I do not want to buy it many times over, just my half share.
Sorry I've been too long. Mavis kept me talking.
You found the cigars, old man?
Aye, here they are. Claire found a fresh box.
Help yourself. JJ?
Merci. Thank you. I found what you said at dinner fascinating, Basil. You own a section of the sea.
Of the sea bed. I bought it at the government auction in the 60s. The big oil companies bought the pick of the leases, but the bidding was open to anyone to buy.
And that's what you did?
Yes, with a few friends. We bought a section at the fringe. We intended to develop it, but the cost...
Oh, the cost, my friend, is fantastic. You know how much a rig costs to operate each day? £24,000 more with inflation.
So much?
All the equipment and the crew, 70, 80 men. There are 4 of us in my little unit, and we are not a drilling crew even.
Susan told me you're some sort of specialist.
That is right. Logging engineer. You see, all the time you are drilling, the prospecting has to be assessed. You can examine the core samples, but that is not foolproof. And that is where I come in. Do you have a match, please, for my cigar?
Of course. Allow me.
Thank you.
And what do you do?
My job is to take electric readings. Information about the porosity of the rock formation, the density, the idle carbon content, and so on.
His crew lower the recording equipment into the drilling hole and take readings, which J.J. then interprets from a log. The readings are very accurate.
And the logs are very important.
I suppose they help determine whether the drilling should be continued or abandoned.
Something of the sort. Yes.
Of course, they can only operate when the drilled string is pulled out of the hole.
And much of the time we are just sitting around playing cards, playing darts, waiting. Because much work must happen when the drill string is pulled. Our readings must be taken, the sides of the old case, strengthened. We must work in conjunction, so we are always on call. I bet you.
Oh. No, please, don't. Don't get up. I hope we're not interrupting something important.
J.J. was about to make a bet.
Ah, then we couldn't have timed our entrance better. Susan can hold the stake.
And you, Claire.
I only bet on certainty.
No, that is not true. You have bet on me.
In what way?
Oh, the risk, Susan, is that I will not last this final week. I have far more service on the rigs than any other Saunder engineer. I am a good candidate for the breaker down.
Oh,
But Claire and Basil have bet on me against the odds. I just hope the gamble comes off and we don't lose.
You did want the coffee now, did you?
Oh, thank you, Julie. Put the tray down here by me, will you? That'll be all. You can go.
Yes, miss. Is there anything you require, Miss Susan?
No, thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Miss Susan. Good night.
I wonder why she calls me Miss Susan. I didn't know her before I was married.
Oh, she makes a compliment to you. You do not look like an old married. Don't you agree, Robert?
Perhaps. But it doesn't sound complimentary.
The way she says it, I feel she's taunting me.
I know how everybody else takes their coffee, but what about you, Bob? Black or cream?
The cream, please, Claire. And this, you're saying, Ian. Supposing you win that bet.
Jean-Jacques, please. What is this, monsieur?
Sorry. Jean-Jacques, what will you do with your winnings?
Well, Susan, would you give those to J.J. and Bob?
Of course.
What will I do? I will buy my share of the Mirabelle.
Here you are, J.J. Bob, coffee.
Thank you, little Mark.
Sugar's over here if you want it.
The Mirabelle? Is that a club?
No, it is not a club. It is a boat. A beautiful boat for underwater exploration. Like Cousteau. My friend Gaston wants me to go in with him. 50-50. He will do the business contracts, the navigation. I will see to the radar and electronic equipment. It will be a wonderful life. Working in the blue waters and the warm waters. Not this cold, grey North Sea.
You make it sound tempting. Shall I come a supercargo? How do you say that in French?
Oh, in your case, my darling, l'ange du bateau.
Flattery, J.J., will get you a long way.
That is what I hoped, my darling Claire.
These bets must be for an awful lot. A boat like that would cost... Well, I know I've only met you today, but I wouldn't give long odds on your cracking up.
The odds are not long, but the stake is high, very high. Now to the everyday, huh? I propose we have a game of poker at very low stakes, just for amusement, huh?
That was great fun. I've enjoyed our evening. Nobody lost to.
That was because the cards did not favor any one person. I'm sorry we had to break it up, huh?
The ladies have been gone for some time now, and you have to make an early start, J.J.
So I will be a good boy and go to bed. Good night, Basile. Bonsoir, Monsieur Robert.
I'm coming up, too. If you'll excuse me, Basil.
Yes, of course. And I'll be a few minutes yet. Good night.
Good night.
You know, it has been good to meet Suzanne's brother. I have wondered what you would be like.
A few years older and not half so pretty.
She is a sweet girl. Trusting. Basil is a lucky man. I hope she will not be too hurt.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, it is good to have a trusting nature, but sometimes people take advantage. I go this way, you go that. Good night.
But you haven't explained. Signora Paul,
If you could have put a two and two together, that man has been dropping a big ints all a night. About what?
Oh!
Oh, Julie.
Oh, sorry to make you jump.
Were you hiding there?
Let's say I didn't want to be seen. I want a word with you in private.
Yes?
I said in private, in your room.
No, well, wait a minute, Julie.
You didn't get any wrong ideas. What I have to say, I don't want anyone to hear just yet. It concerns your sister.
Susan? In that case...
You have all you need, dear boy. If there's something you want, I'll get it. We don't need to keep Julie up, do we? Do we, Julie?
No, Mr. Basil.
Run along, then. Good night.
Good night. Good night, Mr. Paul.
Good night, Julie.
I think that girl had better go back south. She hasn't fitted in at all well up here. It was a mistake to bring her in the first place.
Whatever Julie was about to tell me, she shut up like a clam when your husband appeared.
Well, according to Basil, she's a bit of a mischief maker. All that Miss Susan insolence. Perhaps she got wind of being sent away and was going to appeal to you for help. I wouldn't become involved. More toast?
Yeah, no, thanks, Susie. I'm not used to cooked breakfasts. A little more coffee, if there is some.
Pass your cup. Are you sure you won't come into Lerwick with us?
No, not this morning. I've done enough travelling these last couple of days. I want to stretch my legs, thank you.
There you are. Well, I'm off. I don't want to keep Claire waiting. Have a good day.
You too.
Oh, sorry. Here's Julie. Wants to know whether she can clear.
Yes, Julie, come in. Just leave me with my coffee. How are you?
I'm all right, I suppose.
You don't like it much here, do you?
Not much. Wish I was back in Walworth.
Has that got anything to do with last night? Has it?
Might do.
Look, Julie, it was important to you last night, so why not this morning? If you don't want Mr. Basil to hear, he won't. He's out.
I know. He took Mr. JJ to the airport early on.
Well, then...
Have they said anything about me?
That you haven't settled down here, and that you might be going back.
So that's it. Get her out of the way. Well, look. I've known Mr. Wexford for longer than your sister has, and I know more of what he's up to than he thinks. He's a smooth talker, but he won't talk himself out of what I've got to say. He and Mr. JJ and that Miss Clare have a plan to try and get...
Susan and I are just off to look.
Julie? What are you doing?
Clearing the breakfast things, Miss Clare.
Well, hurry up about it, then. Susan tells me you're going to look at our Iron Age relics, Bob.
Yes, I thought a walk to Jarlshof and a potter around the excavations. I'll come into Lerwick with you another day.
As you choose. Julie, take Mr. Paul's cup. He's finished.
Yes.
Oh, and Julie, put the tray in the kitchen, bring a basket, and come with me. There are some things to be brought back from Grierson's. We'll give you a lift along the road. Hurry up, girl. Mr. Paul doesn't want you plaguing him with your idle chat all day long.
Mark the outer limits of the first settlement. You see here where this stile stops and another is superimposed, and probably is the result of a raid. Certainly, each succeeding wave of invaders has had a settlement here. Iron Age, Bronze Age, Picts, Vikings. I must stop. I'm beginning to sound like a guidebook.
When you talk, you bring the past right into the present. I suppose it's to do with being born and bred here.
Maybe there's a truth in that. You've only to stand quietly here for a moment in these islands to be aware of history. It's so close to you at times, you could put out your hand and touch it.
If I put out my hand, I would touch you, Jenny.
Bob. Bob, this is silly. We've known each other for a few hours. We met on the plane yesterday.
Yesterday, today, a year ago, what does it matter?
Bob, it's ridiculous. It's my own fault, I suppose. I came across you quietly exploring Jarlshof, doing no one any harm, dutifully reading the guidebook. And because we talked ourselves silly yesterday...
I talked myself silly. You listened very charmingly and very patiently to my monologue about Italy.
It was easy to listen to. You were easy to listen to.
Jenny...
Anyway, I had to come rushing in full of a degree from Aberdeen and postgraduate research.
pretending I was offering help when all the time I was showing off.
When you become earnest, a little frown of concentration forms on your forehead. Just there. Jenny.
Robert Paul, you make history very difficult for a girl. Bob, will you have done with your philandering? We're away to meet Father.
You met first on the plane and then again at the Jarl's Hof. The Earl's house, as you would say, in the south. Aye, well, Jenny would be a good guide. She has the skill and the enthusiasm. Hello, hello, that would be Orval Grayson's dog. Hello, boy. Hello, Brach. Hello.
Hello, Brach, good boy. Good afternoon, Orval.
Good afternoon, Kenneth. Afternoon, Jenny. It's fine day.
Oh, she's so, Orval. How is Eileen?
Oh, she is very well. She is wondering when we will see you.
Oh, tell her we will be over soon. When you go back to the rig.
Ah, a couple of days yet. Come away, Brach. Come on, come away.
Orval Grayson, a neighbor of ours, Bob. He and his wife run the general stores and farm a few sheep.
For the wool, most of the crofters do.
Of course, Shetland wool.
Father runs a small industry for the knitting. The wool knits better than it weaves. It's our breed of sheep.
And we don't shear them, we pull the wool from them. It is a part of the process. Here's the house. You will take a cup of tea with us, Mr. Paul?
Of course he will, Father. What with history and local economy, the poor man's head must be reeling like a teetotum.
In which case, a dram might have a steadying effect. Please to enter, Mr. Paul.
Thank you.
I'll put the kettle on, Father.
Thank you, Jenny. Sit you down, Mr. Paul. Will you take that dram?
Not at the moment, if you don't mind.
Well, here are the bottle and glasses if you change your mind. What brings you here, Mr. Paul? The fishing? The antiquities?
I came to find my sister. Now, that sounds a bit strange, I know. She wasn't lost or anything, but she'd left London without a word and I traced her here. She'd married and was on a secret honeymoon.
She is married to someone you know, Father.
Oh, then it would be a visitor. Not a local man, I would have heard.
It's someone you had business dealings with.
Oh? Well, who is that? I cannot guess.
Basil Wexford. I didn't know you knew him.
We were business associates at one time. How's the tea, Jenny?
Give it time, Father. Father's dealings with Mr. Wexford did not end so well.
Jenny, you are speaking of Mr. Paul's brother-in-law. Now let us leave it.
I would rather not, Mr. Wilson. I only heard of Mr. Wexford a few days ago. I met him for the first time yesterday. I know nothing about him except that he's a financier, that he owns part of the seabed, and that he's involved in oil exploration. And that he and his sister are out of place here. That's the sum total of my knowledge. I don't think I would choose him for a friend, but Susan loves him and...
You wish to form your own opinion of him. Well, quite right. When Mr. Wexford first came here, when he bought the manse, he was only an occasional visitor. Then he became involved in a scheme with all sorts of international financiers to prospect for oil. At the last moment, his main backer failed, and Mr. Wexford found himself out in the cold. But he did not give up. He persuaded a few of us to put up a little money, or a few hundreds each, to form our own company and buy a piece of the seabed. Would you believe it only cost us £5,000? Well, it was worth that for a long shot, which is exactly what it was. We could not afford to prospect ourselves, but we hoped the large oil companies would be interested and buy us out. They were not.
Tea, Father?
Oh, thank you, Jenny. Bring a chair to the table, Mr. Paul.
How do you take your tea, Bob? Milk and sugar?
No sugar, thanks. You said that the companies were not interested, but the field is being drilled now.
Now, yes. You see, the first surveys were not good, but a recent one was more hopeful.
But Father had sold by then. There you are, Bob. Father.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
He was worried about the effects of the oil on our life here.
Jenny has seen for herself just what that can do. The while she has been at the university at Aberdeen. The changes.
We don't want that to happen here. So, when Father was elected to the committee, he wished to be unbiased, and he sold his share back to Mr. Wexford.
That was a while back. I have no complaint there. But recently, one of the oil companies, Conch Oil, made another survey. The new reports were promising, but Mr. Wexford did not tell the shareholders. He bought them out. pretended it was his fault they'd put their money in a white elephant, and the least he could do was to repay them, since he could set the money against tax loss.
And Conch moved in at a profit to Wexford.
Aye, and we have the details now. Conch Oil paid him £10,000 for the right to prospect on his bed. They are drilling an exploratory well, what they call a wildcat. If they strike oil, they share 50-50 with him. If no oil, they bear the costs, and Mr. Wexford has already made a profit.
Of 100%, and stands to make millions, the word is round.
Millions and millions of pounds will flow from the wells in the seas nearby, but will bring little benefit to us. The rigs and the platforms are built elsewhere. The crews come in from outside. They do not even spend their off-duty time here. There will be some ugly storage tanks at Fetlar, and always the risk of pollution. We stand to gain nothing, only to lose our land to get-rich-quick speculators who will ruin our life. And that is why we will not be doing with Mr. Wexford and his colleagues.
Deep. How deep is the Saunder?
6.895.
Reduce speed at 7,000. George, what depth is the casing shoe?
7200.
Slow the drop now, Deke. Half speed. Hold it till 7050, then very slow.
Okay, Squire.
Well, George, how does rig life suit you after 2 months, huh?
It's what I expected.
7050.
Take it down very slowly, Dick. Good. Good. So, George, you're not enthusiastic, huh?
I'll do my turn.
No more?
Or possibly, but nothing like your stint.
Ah, it is a question of temper, about.
Yeah, and also the location. I'm not wild about the North Sea.
Me neither, but it's a job.
Can't understand why you're doing this.
What do you mean? I have to work?
But not here, not in the North Sea. There was a job going in Borneo. You've always said it was your favourite location. Your senior engineer, you're bound to have got it. But you turned it down for this.
Well, it's a whim.
Doesn't make sense to me. Oh, by the way, the helicopter arrived when you had started to lower. There was this parcel for you, logging film.
Merci.
Can't imagine why you want it anymore. The drawer's full. Shall I open it and put it away?
No, leave it alone. Leave it here, don't touch it.
What's that?
Well, just leave it here, thank you, George. I'll see to it.
Now you have me intrigued. What's so special about logging film? Why mustn't I touch it?
I'm sorry, George. I'm a little edgy today now. What is it, Dick?
We can't pass. It's standing up.
Well, stop lowering.
What's your depth?
7.25. It's past the casing shoe.
We'll try to pass. You know the drill. Keep trying. The time now
is 9.30. I'll try for 15 minutes. If we still can't pass,
then break cable. I'll warn the tool pusher to make a check trip. With a rig pulling out in a few days, we could have done without this delay.
Don't look at me, my friend. It is not of my making. No, don't worry. We will clear the hole in half an hour's reaming. I bet you.
What was he up to today? Did you gather? Apart from pottering around the excavations.
He didn't say. But I'm sure he's concealing something. He's not a good liar.
Do you think he's found out anything?
How could he? Unless you've been broadcasting our doings all over the island. Let me see what I can get out of your wife tomorrow. And you'd better go up to her now.
All right.
Wait a minute. Open the door very quietly, Basil. I'm not happy about Julie.
This is becoming a habit, Julie. Waylaying me in the corridor.
I had something to take to Miss Susan.
I wish you'd stop calling my sister Miss Susan. She's Mrs. Wexford.
But she has no right to be.
What does that mean?
There are some with better rights. Mr. Basil was up here for a long time before he met your sister. That's not much company for a normal man, and the winter nights are very long. My bed was comfortable and warm.
You were his mistress?
Why shouldn't I be?
No reason. But you weren't married to him.
No, I wasn't. But if he hadn't gone to London and met her, I reckon I would have been. He doesn't love your sister. He's just using her. I'll tell you why he married her. She was working for the oil company, the one that's drilling in his bit of sea, the one that Mr. JJ's working for. They're all in it together. Mr. Basil, JJ, that Miss Claire. Oh, what was that?
One of the doors downstairs. They're probably coming up.
I don't want to get caught with you again. I'll tell you the rest tomorrow.
They were talking at the top of the stairs. God knows what about, but she scuttled off as though she'd seen a ghost. My guess, brother dear, is that your ex-playmate has become dangerous. Too dangerous.
Oh, what was that? Oh, damn. Where's the light? Where's the switch? Ah. Oh, I better see where it came from.
I wonder what...
Not a sound. Quiet as the grave.
It's funny, I thought it would have worked in the house.
No one. No light. No movement.
I must have dreamt it.
What time is it? 3 o'clock. Now, back to bed. And don't dream again.
So you, my dear Susan, we'll be holding the fort.
No. Where did I put keys? Here they are in my pocket.
Basil has gone to the airport?
Yes, in a tearing hurry. That fool Mrs. Grierson received an urgent telephone message for him yesterday and sat on it until this morning. Typical of the people here, as I'm afraid you'll discover for yourself. Oh, when will Bob be back?
For dinner. He's out with some people he met yesterday. Ah. He was looking for Julie earlier.
Oh, she always leaves at the crack of dawn on her day off. And I must leave too. Bye.
Is that all there are, Bob? Just the two cartons?
Yes, Mr. Wilson. And the smaller is for Dr. Lewis at Sunborough. Apparently he's waiting on it. The porter thought you could deliver it.
Oh, yes, of course. It is good of you to help like this.
Oh, you're giving me a conducted tour of the island. It's the least I can do. Shall I take this to the truck?
Oh, just hold on a minute. Orvald! Orvald Grierson! Ah. I hope you're well today.
Oh, well, I'm Kenneth, thank you. Oh, have I met the young gentleman before?
Oh, the other day when you were out with the dog. Bob, this is Mr. Orvald Grierson. Orvald, Mr. Robert Paul.
How do you do?
Orvald and his wife run the general store.
Ah, well, it's Eileen runs the stores, really. I'm with the oil out in the rigs.
One of the few Shetland men who is. What field are you on now, Orvald?
Mr. Wexford's. I'm away off to it in 20 minutes.
Mr. Paul is Mr. Wexford's brother-in-law. He's staying with them.
Oh, is that so? I hope you have good sport tonight.
How's that?
For the fishing. Mr. Wexford telephoned to ask us to prepare a boat for tonight, for the night fishing. I've had to leave Eileen to carry on. If the weather holds, you might have a nice catch. Well, it's nice to have met you, Mr. Paul. Hi, Kenneth.
Well, that's the first I've heard of any night fishing.
It depends on the weather from day to day. Right, well, shall we take these to the truck? Do you want a hand up?
Thank you.
Right.
Got it. Oh. I'll lead on.
It was the fishing that caused Orvald to work on the rigs. He went out with some crofters, you know, 2 years ago, and they were caught in the roost. That is a dangerous current that runs off the headland. The boat overturned, and Orvald was the only survivor.
I've given you two up for lost. Put it in the back, please, Bob. Is that all?
Aye, only one for us today. But there's this package for the doctor at Sunborough.
Oh.
Well, thank you, Bob. We're away then, Jenny. Jenny?
I'm trying to place him. That man over there talking to Mr. Wexford.
Where?
Over there, see?
Oh, no. No, I haven't seen him before. Bob?
Neither have I. He'll be a visitor like me.
Maybe so. But it worries me when I feel I know a person and can't place them. Oh, all right, all right. I'll get in. Do you want me to drive?
Please. After you, Bob. Oh, is it right? You'll have enough room, though.
Yes, I'm not crowding you, am I, Jenny?
Aberdeen.
The university, that's it. That's where I've seen him. The man with Wexford.
He'd be a professor, then. He's too old for a student.
No, he's not a professor. Nor a tutor. He's... Wait a minute. He's something to do with the labs.
Your demonstrator?
Don't think so. No, not quite that, Bob. He's a lab technician. Got it. A senior lab technician. Mud Mackenzie, the wizard of the electrics.
What possessed you to come over, Mackenzie? Your instructions were to stay in Aberdeen. You ought to put the whole plan in jeopardy.
No, but why didn't you reply to my message?
I didn't receive it until this morning. And the packet should have been sent in the usual way. Why suddenly change it?
Because this is the last. The peak of the pattern I've been building for you. If this doesn't do the trick, nothing will. It's extremely valuable. The climax of months of work.
All the more reason not to arouse suspicion, to send it in the usual way. Better let me have it. Not here. We'll be out of sight round the corner. Come on. Right. Let me have it.
There you are.
Thank you. Now, wait here for 5 minutes after I've gone, then go straight to the terminal building, stay there, and catch the first flight back to Aberdeen. Give me a good 5 minutes. Smoke a cigarette.
I don't smoke.
Then twiddle your thumbs, but leave the thinking to me.
You're not the only one with brains, Wexford. I'll have you remember that. You'd look for a long time before you found anyone who could do what I've done, and would do it, more to the point. When I see some of the professors, the people holding chairs of science, I could puke. When I measure my brains against theirs, but for one stupid disability...
I'm sorry, I suppose, I did, old boy. We're all rather nervous. We're so near success, and when it comes... You'll have all the satisfaction you want. All the money...
More than money, Wexford. The proof. The proof that my brain is better than theirs. That I should have the chair of science.
Mando Mackenzie, a senior lab technician. He's quite brilliant. Should have been a professor.
Oh, have a care for the potholes, Jenny.
I'm doing my best, but I can't miss them all.
The road's in a bad state.
Like poor old Mackenzie. He just can't pass exams. It's a mental block. Has been all his life. The minute he enters an examination room, he seizes up. It's become a phobia.
That is interesting about Mackenzie. I suppose he would not be a happy man.
He's not. He's extremely bitter. And it's a pity, because he is a brilliant man, and basically nice, I think. Here we are, Dr. Lewis's. I'll take the parcel, Father. I haven't said hello to Mrs. Lewis this holiday. Here we are.
It's strange. I've never met anyone in the oil business before, and within 2 days of coming here, meet two people from the same rig.
Who was the other one?
The Frenchman. Jean-Jacques... I forget his surname. Everyone calls him J.J.
I remember you telling me.
You were surprised that he should have spent his leave here.
I was that. Generally, the men have had enough of the sea and the sky. They want bright lights, crowds, entertainment. Mr. J.J. must be quite an unusual man.
Why, head officer, so sure we're onto a field here. The cuttings haven't been up to much, nor have the cores.
No, but the cores have been mostly washed away or broken in the soft sand.
Even so, your readings haven't been that good.
Oh, my friend, but they have. And they are better all the time.
I wouldn't have said that from looking at them.
George, you have been working on a rig for 2 months, yes?
Yes, you know that. Why?
What I say is not against your ability, but just a matter of experience. Me, I have had 8 years.
Well, naturally, your eyes are accustomed to interpreting fine variations.
Not only my eyes. It is my nose. I can smell these things. We are exploring a fault trap. We are drilling now at 10,000 feet on the up-dip side. Now, we are in soft sand, huh? My readings... and my nose tell me that the oil is trapped in the down dip. I have not been wrong in all these years.
I can't dispute that. But I do know one thing that motivates you.
And what is that?
You're a gambler. The odds appeal to you.
Ah, the secret of gambling, my friend, is to do your own work. Equate the risks against the known potential. The length of the odds then ceases to be of significance. The risk here is insignificant. The bet is on a certainty.
Brandy for you, Clem.
Thank you.
Port for you, old man. And a port for Susan when she's finished playing. Not that I want her to stop.
Have you thought how long you'll stay, Bob? How much leave do you have?
3 more weeks before I return to Italy. I think I'll spend most of it here.
I see.
Bob's met a family from nearby. He says you know them, the Wilsons.
Kenneth Wilson. He was a partner in your seabed company.
No, that's correct, dear boy. Sold his share back. He's a local do-gooder.
Bob's interest is more in Miss Wilson, I think. Oh, splendid, Bob. Well, they might have a spare bed. Most of these crofters do pick up the spare penny. It'll save you going to a hotel. We're closing the house at the end of the week. I didn't know that.
I've only just decided, my sweet. I've got to go back to London to be at the centre of things.
But why didn't you tell me?
Claire offered to make all the arrangements to leave us free to enjoy ourselves. It's very considerate of her. She remembered I'd promised to give you some more fishing, for instance.
Fresh or salt water?
Both. Rod and line.
Night fishing?
No, I don't think so.
It can be quite fun, though, on a good night. You take lanterns, Susie.
Oh, it sounds great. Why not, darling?
Because, my sweet, the sea's too changeable this time of year. Too dangerous. Another time.
I think Basil's absolutely right. Nothing would induce me to go on a boat at night. It's all I can do to face an aeroplane by daylight.
We were at the airport earlier. I saw you there, Basil.
Did you, dear boy?
You were in very earnest conversation.
Now I have you. J.J. had left some papers behind. I was arranging for them to be taken out to him. Darling, your port. And then, will you play for us again?
This is Bob. Love you, too. The others are listening to Susie, playing her after-dinner pieces. I've slipped away. Jenny, there's something odd going on. At the airport, Orville said the Wexfords were going out night fishing, and his wife had gone to get the boat ready. Well, when the subject came up just now, Basil denied any intention of going. He generally poured cold water on the idea. I don't believe him. I'm going to stay up and keep my eyes and ears open. Oh, another thing. Your Murdo's the Wizard of Electrics, and J.J.'s an electric engineer, and they both know Wexford. It's too much of a coincidence. Could you get to the Grierson store and keep an eye on the boats? I'll make contact with you somehow. If I haven't, and nothing's happened by, say, 3 o'clock, go home. Oh, still no sign of Julie. Look, Susie's stopped playing. I must go. Take care. Bye.
This diagram will give you an idea of the patterns of the graphs. You see, here and here, the band is about the same width.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the electric current has met resistance from impervious rocks. It forms a narrow central column on the graph. Now, at intervals, you see there and there, these wider bands. They indicate the permeable formations of sand and limestone. And these are where oil and gas are found, in formations of greater porosity.
Yes.
Now, here is the resistivity log. Now, you see, the same central column and the wider bands making a slightly different pattern.
Why do you need another graph?
The other logs show the type of rock, the density of formation. They do not show whether the pores contain any hydrocarbon.
What the oil men are looking for are porous rock formations saturated with hydrocarbons. And that is what Mackenzie has been providing. He's an artist. The Van Meegeren of the electric log.
I don't doubt your skill in your work, Mackenzie. I just wish you'd show it in other matters.
Hmm?
It was stupid and dangerous to come here. You should have gone back to Aberdeen.
Well, Miss Wexford, as I was waiting at the airport, I got to thinking. My part of the operation is finished. I've no further call on the laboratories or the equipment. All the logs and tapes are made. It would look unnatural if I didn't take some leave. And I might be of service here.
So you came to spy on us?
To safeguard my own investment. You've a weak link. The man who's to be ill. It all depends on him. Can you rely on him? Suppose he fails you.
Orvald knows what he has to do. And he wants the money. He won't let us down.
Hey, you! Hey, Grierson! What are you doing? Having a rescue?
No, Pusher, it's my stomach. It's killing me.
Ah, jeez. You got the guts, eh? Why can't you guys stay off the bad booze?
It's not the drinking. It's not the guts, ache. It's like a knife. God, I think I'm going
to
die.
Take yourself off to the medic. I'll tell the driller for you. On the way, ask number two for a replacement along. Well, go on.
Yeah. Thank you, Pusher.
Hey, you roused about. For Christ's sake, look at the mud screen. Where are your bloody eyes? Now, if I press just here, all right?
All right.
And on this side, here. Ah, now, I'm going to keep my hand on your stomach. I won't press, but I want you to sit up. Keep your legs flat. Up. Now, back. Lie back. How is it now?
It's not too bad. It's more of an ache. But when the pain comes, it's like a knife.
Mm-hmm. You can get dressed.
What is it, Ron? What do you think? Gas ache?
I'm not sure, but I think it's appendicitis.
Jeez.
It has all the symptoms.
Yeah, you're going to send him to hospital?
Right away. I'll radio for a helicopter.
You do just that. I don't know the form for a burial at sea, and I don't aim to learn it either. Orville, you lucky bastard. We're sending you back to Aberdeen.
So, your man is playing his part, Mr. Wexford. And here's my contribution. What follows?
A rendezvous with the helicopter at sea. You could come along and help with the boat. It'd leave Claire free to keep an eye on the house. I don't think Susan will wake, but if she
does, you've gone night fishing. Don't worry. I can deal with her. Time you were off.
Give me the envelope. Ah, safely stowed. You ready, Mackenzie?
I am.
What shall we do about Julie?
We'll see to her when I get back.
Something's going on, and I want to find out exactly what it is. Is there another staircase? I want to get to the ground floor without being seen.
Yes, there's a back stairs. I'll show you.
There's no need to take me. Just give me the directions.
No, you won't find it. Follow me and don't talk so much. Through here.
Ah, a concealed door. Very neat.
This is the old part of the house. It leads down to the kitchens and staff rooms. I only came across it by chance. There are all sorts of still rooms and pantries. Basil has plans to make it into a staff flat. Ah, ground floor. Well, this door leads into the hall, that one to the stable yard. I leave you to wonder... what on earth?
It's coming from behind that door. Hello, who is it? Who's there? The door's locked.
Look, hanging on a nail at the side. A key.
Clever girl. Hold on in there. Julie. Susie, under the gag. I'll untie her hands.
There, Julie, there.
Oh, you're all right. Oh, this is a miserable. I thought no one
had
ever...
What happened?
Oh, I don't rightly know. I came down to get some water. It was in the middle of the night. I saw a light in the hall. There were voices in the study. Then I was grabbed from behind and a needle stuck in my arm. I let out a scream and my jaw was frozen.
Scream in the night. Did you recognize anyone? Hear anything that was said?
I heard that Mr. JJ in the study. He said, Orville will become ill at 1 o'clock on Thursday. Yes, that's it, 1 o'clock Thursday.
Well, that's today. That's now. Back in here.
You better wrap up warmly, man. You'll find an anorak along there and a woolen cap.
Claire, there's nothing for you to do at present. Just make sure the house is quiet. Mm-hmm. Come on, Mackenzie. Torches.
They're in the study. I'll get them.
We'll wait in the car.
Susan, take Julie to your room and lock yourselves in. Don't open the door to anyone until I return. If Claire knocks at the door, pretend to be asleep. Quickly, while the coast is clear.
Well, what about you?
I'm going with them, on the towing bar.
So, Grayson, keep as warm as you can and stretch yourself out.
It's not a long flight. You'll soon be in hospital.
Yes, thank you.
In you go, then. Mind your head. Can you manage?
Yes, I can manage fine, thank you.
These are his papers. If you'd hand them to the doctor.
Will do.
How much longer with the fueling?
Nearly there. Just a couple of minutes.
Have a good flight. Get in there in one piece.
Thanks. Hello, JJ. What have you got for me? The usual reports?
Yes, Harry. Here. And, Harry, could you do me a great favour?
What is it?
On your way into Aberdeen, make a little diversion.
You must be mad. I've got a sick man here.
It will take no more than 2-3 minutes. And it is very important. My acceptance of the partnership for the boat. I forgot to post it, huh? And it must be in Marseille in 3 days. Wexford is going now. He says he will take it for me.
I'd like to help, JJ, but...
It really is my whole future. And, Harry, I insist on paying for the postage. £200.
Thanks, Paul, sir. Thank you.
Well, what do you want me to do, JJ?
On your flight path, directly off Sunborough, you will see a launch. A torch will flash 1, 2, 1, or 2. Yeah. Winch down these papers to Mr. Wexford and winch up some others. Okay. That's all, that's all. 2-3 minutes, painless.
Okay, I'll look for your boat.
Where blades!
Harry! When this tour is over, we will have the biggest party! And you will be the chief guest.
Well, I'll hold you to that, JJ.
You bastard, I love you.
Mackenzie, we'll find Mrs. Grierson. Bring the torches, dear boy.
Aye, I have them.
Bob, are you all right?
My arms are numbed. I'm not used to riding on towing bars. I don't think I could have held on much longer.
Well, those two are definitely going out.
Do you know which boat it is?
Yes, Mrs. Grierson stored a few things in it. Petrol, oars, fishing lines and so on.
Can we get to it without being seen?
If we go along by the rocks, we'll be in shadow all the way. What are you going to do?
I don't know until I've seen the boat.
Right, Jenny, you lead the way.
What are these for, Mrs. Grierson?
For the bailing. Not that you will need them tonight, but you never know.
I agree. Better safe than sorry. Oh, and thank you for the bottle of whiskey. A nice thought.
I will. Urwald was saying it can be a wee bit chill out there at this time of night. If you would just tell me which signalling lamp you wish, they're in the store.
I'll come with you, Mrs. Grierson. Give me a hand up, Mackenzie, will you?
There you are.
Thank you.
If you're going off with Mrs. Grierson, I'll away to the car for my coat.
Don't be long. We must leave in less than 5 minutes.
Over here, Bob. They've gone. Here's the boat.
I see. Just an open dinghy with an outboard motor. I wonder...
What is it?
Well, I'm looking for somewhere to hide. I was wondering about those tarpaulins in the bows.
You're not going out with them.
And I can't afford to let them out of my sight now. I want to know exactly what they're up to.
Bob, no. It may be dangerous. Let's go to the police.
And what are we to tell them? This trip may be the answer. Look, as soon as the boat leaves, go to your father and tell him what's happened. Give me your hand. Steady me on board. What's that?
It's Brach.
Hello, boy.
Hello, boy. Look, Jenny, don't encourage him. Down, boy.
It's all right. He's very friendly.
He'll give us away. Off you go, boy. Go on, shoo.
See if he'll chase this stone.
No, he might bark. Go away, boy. Go on, shoo. Go away.
They're coming back.
We'll have to chance it. I'm going under the canvas. He might go off with you. Get behind the shed.
Here, bro. Here. Good boy.
No, no, not for now. I wish you'd bring it for me.
Now,
don't worry. Mrs. Grierson knows nothing. She really believes we're going for a night's fishing. Hold this lantern, dear boy, while...
Wait a minute. Look, over there by the shed. Something moved. You see?
Yeah. I'd better take a look. You circle round to the left. I'll keep this line. Off you go. Quietly as you can. Now, who would...
Oh, what's it doing here?
What is it, boy? What have you got to show us?
He's making back to the shed. What do you think it is?
Rabbits, I should think.
At this time of night?
Oh, perhaps a hedgehog. Yes, yes, I know, boy. It's all very exciting. Where are you off to?
To take a look.
We haven't time for that now. The plane won't wait. Come back and cast off. Where you go, boy? Go on. As soon as you've untied... Pull them off, Mackenzie.
Right. But I still think we should see what the dog...
We should take ourselves to the flight path as soon as possible. Are we clear?
Aye. We are now.
Then sit down, dear boy. Last stage, Operation Wildcat.
That was a close thing. Oh, Brach, you can bark all you like now. I'm away to find father.
A quarter to two. We unship the oars, Mackenzie, and hold her steady. We're dead on course, but we might have to adjust. So... Now you understand the whole operation. Not only your part in it.
Aye, it's a neat swindle. It has the advantage of simplicity.
So I pride myself. A dram, dear boy, to keep out the cold.
After you. Yes, it's very neat. You owned a piece of the seabed. A seismic search revealed the possibility of oil. You determined to turn that possibility into a certainty by substituting false electrical logs to indicate an exploitable field.
For which I needed two experts only. You to manufacture the logs, and an engineer on the rig, J.J., to prepare the ground for false readings. Here, the bottle.
Thanks. Ah, that's good. But why are we having to make the substitution from out here?
Because there isn't time to fly the logs out to JJ, and it isn't necessary. The rig leaves the field in 2 days. These last graphs of yours positively confirm all the other readings. The Wildcat will have been successful, and Conch will go for an appraisal drilling. But before that happens, I'll have sold my share on the market for millions. And the neatness is... There are so few of us involved, dear boy.
You, me, that engineer, J.J.
And a couple of hundred for the man shamming appendicitis on the rig, but he's not in the scheme. He's merely doing what he's told.
Listen, there's a helicopter. Will you signal?
No, not yet. Pull round a bit on your left, then row straight ahead.
All right.
A bit more to your left.
Right.
Straighten now. Hold it. I'm sending the signal. Hold steady. Once more.
He's understood. He's hovering. Here it comes. Can you reach it?
Nearly. I pull round. Pull. Got it. Hold steady. Shine the light. This way. Unhook the real logs and put ours in the bag. All away. Good.
Sit you down, Mr. Wexford. Your nuts are safe.
London. Wow, fortunes. Now, Mackenzie, dear boy, the rods and the bait.
What? I thought we were away back.
We will be, dear boy, we will be. But not immediately. A little night fishing. To provide an alibi in case of awkward questions.
I would have thought that as a family we would all stick together. Not rush off to accuse each other of all sorts of vague innuendo.
No one's accusing you of anything, Claire. I merely told Mr. Wilson about how we found Julie.
It still has not been explained to Miss Wexford how she came to be in the pantry, bound and gagged.
I've already told you. I've no idea at all. Must have been burglars.
Nothing has been taken? You have not missed anything?
Fortunately, no. Mr. Wilson, we've already been through all this once before. Believe me, if I could shed any light on this business, I would.
Oh, 1 minute, Miss Wexford, please. Ah, Jenny, come in.
How is she, Jenny? How is Julie?
She's fine. Dr. Lewis has given her a thorough checkover. There's no physical harm, but he's given her a sedative and she's staying with him.
That is the best thing for the young lass.
Yes, indeed. Now, if there's nothing else, Mr. Wilson?
Just one thing, Miss Wexford. We know that Mr. Wexford went fishing with a friend. My daughter here saw them go. Somebody else also went with them. Isn't that so, Jenny?
Yes. Mr. Paul.
Bob.
No! They'd never have taken him.
Well, why not, Miss Wexford? Didn't they like him?
Well, of course they did. He's Basil's brother-in-law and mine.
Well, exactly. We know that Mr. Paul was keen on the idea of fishing. Why would they not take him?
Well, I don't think there would have been any room, any gear for him. The boat was only prepared for two people.
He hid under some canvas in the bows.
Well, why on earth did he stow away like some thief in the night? Why not tell them openly that he wanted to join them?
He didn't feel he would be welcome.
I can't answer for your brother's feelings. In fact, I can't answer for your brother's behavior at all. He hides in a boat. You hide in a pantry. Your family seems to spend its entire time hiding from people. If it were not so very ludicrous, I'd be very angry.
When Basil returns...
When Basil returns, he will feel exactly as I do, believe me. Annoyed that you are causing trouble while he's away quietly enjoying himself.
The sea's becoming worse. We're just running into rougher water. Can't you steer her out?
We haven't got power. The engine's flat out now. We've just got to run with the current.
And the more we run with it, the more we run into the roost. We'll not stand much chance there with this cockle shell. Steer her out now, Wexford.
I can't turn her broadside onto those waves. We capsized.
It was the fishing. If you hadn't insisted on that masquerade, we wouldn't have drifted into this current.
Almost out of bail, Mackenzie. The scoop to buy the canvas in the bow.
Aye, I will. Go! What's this? Huh? Who's here? Wexford! There's someone under the canvas. Come on out, man. I'm trying to.
Mackenzie! Out, please stop bailing! What's going on? Come see! Who the... Bob!
You know him?
Yes, I do. Stop bailing or we're done for. Both of you, I can't leave the pillar.
Here's a scoop! Who are you? Wexford's brother-in-law.
Are you so? Well, you just carry on.
Mackenzie, why did you stop bailing?
He says he's your brother-in-law.
He is. But why did you go back and help him?
He's not part of the scheme, is he?
No. Now, Garrett...
What's he doing on board?
I don't know. Why don't you go back to bailing and ask him?
I will. It's too much for one. Lend a hand, Mackenzie. You know my name? What else do you know about me? All sorts of things. Such as... Watch out. Here's a big one. Such as... You're an Aberdeen electrical scientist.
Yes.
I hope you're getting well paid for your part of this fraud.
You've held it all.
How much do you want? What size share?
Share?
Of the payout. What size cut are you after?
I don't want a cut.
What do you want? You're not going to be too greedy.
I don't want anything except for Basil to call the scheme off.
Call the scheme off? You must be mad.
I don't want to bring in the law and my own sister involved. That's not necessary. Just let the scheme die.
But my work, my grass.
We can drop a hint to Conch. Tell them not to act on those logs.
They wouldn't believe you. The work is too well done. You'd have to tell them everything. No one need be mentioned. But my work. You don't know what I put into it. I fooled all the MSCs and BSCs and professors of little knowledge. Murdo Mackenzie, lab technician who cannot pass exams, has bested them all. And you want to ruin it. Ruin it!
Mackenzie, get down!
You what? I'll see you dead.
Mackenzie, the way! Look out! Hold on there!
Mackenzie! Hold! Mackenzie!
I can't. It's all I can do now, to head on. Just get sides and keep that turn.
Reduce speed. He might be swimming.
Can you see him?
No. No. Mackenzie! Mackenzie!
It's all I can do to hold her. Can you see him? I can't wait any longer.
No! No sign!
We hadn't a chance in this current. Our only hope is to stick together. Get back to the bailing.
Now, Mrs. Grierson, where did you say Mr. Wexford went?
That I don't know. He just said he wanted the night's fishing, he and his friend. And that's all I know, Mr. Wilson.
But Mr. Wexford did ask you to prepare the boat.
I will. He didn't actually ask me, miss. No, he spoke to Orvald.
And he's back on the rig. We won't see him for another week.
No, we won't see him, that's true. But he will be off the rig.
Oh? How so?
Well, I mind that Orvald told me he would be going to Aberdeen this night, and that if I heard he was ill, I was not to worry. It would not be true.
Thank you, Mrs. Grierson. We're not much wiser, Jenny.
Father, take the boat out to the flight path.
Oh, now, Jenny, I know you're worried
it's
about
that. It's more
than
worry. It's a hunch. Please, Father.
You're offering me Mackenzie's share.
For your silence. You see, dear boy, you wouldn't even have to do anything for it. What could be easier than that? Put some more petrol in the tank, will you, like a good chap? You could use the motor again.
Basil, what about Susan when she finds out?
There's no reason why she should.
She knows about Julie.
That is a pity. Still, she'll be cushioned. Money does soften the blow, you know.
Until the next time Julie appears on the scene?
That is by no means certain. But should it happen, your sister will receive a very handsome settlement.
You don't really care for her at all, do you, Basil? Why did you marry her?
To buy her silence, dear boy.
As you wish to buy mine.
Exactly. And both will be handsomely paid for.
You're determined to go through with your plan?
Of course, dear boy.
And I'm equally determined that you will not.
I'm afraid you can no more stop me than you can stop the dawn, which is breaking through the mist around us. What a pity we're not on our carbottle. You can appreciate the beauty of this moment as I do.
The tank's full.
Thank you.
If you won't drop your plan, I'll have to go to the police. I didn't want to because of Susan, but now I think...
But now, what, Bob? Don't let this stop you. I don't approve of guns at all. They're messy. They bring too many complications. But as the ultimate deterrent, they are, unfortunately, necessary. You must be deterred.
You wouldn't be such a fool.
Mackenzie shot you, and the two of you went overboard. I'm sorry, Bob, but you don't imagine I'm going to allow some half-baked whippersnapper with a half-baked conscience to come between me and millions. Millions? I only wish Mackenzie had.
You'd better answer them, Basil.
Answer?
You can just see them through the mist, coming up behind you.
I won't need that anymore, Wexford.
Put my gun down. Wexford, have you...
Watch out! You're touching the ball!
Wexford?
I'm coming alongside.
No,
stop, wasn't it?
Wasn't there someone with you?
Basil, he's in the bottom of the boat. I think he's dead. Buongiorno, Signora Fratelli. Buongiorno.
Signor Paul, welcome. How are you? And the signora?
Yes, this is my wife, Jenny.
How do you do, Signora Fratelli? Mrs. Paul, oh, it's good to see you. I am so pleased for you both.
Thank you very much, Signora.
I say to Mr. Paul many times, he should be married. Oh, but to such a pretty woman. Oh, he's a very lucky man.
I know that, Signora.
Now, you keep him strict. You're not to let him get away with nothing.
No, she doesn't. She's just like you, Signora. She bullies me.
I bully you. I am just like a mother. And I am so delighted you have come to stay with me.
I tried very hard to keep Jenny away. I said, there's all the rest of Italy to see on your honeymoon. But she insisted on coming here.
Don't you believe it, Signora. It was the very first place he wanted me to see.
And he is right. Firenze is the first. Oh, Mr. Paul, there is a letter for you. Huh? It came the day before. You are lucky with the post. Now, you excuse me. I go see your room is ready.
You know it's been ready since the crack of dawn.
All at the same, I make sure.
Oh, what did I tell you, Jenny? Did I exaggerate?
She's just as you described her, darling. Only a little more, so... Is that from Susan? It looks like her writing.
Yes, darling. She sends her love... Hopes we had a good journey. Hopes I'm taking good care of you.
Anything else? Does she say anything about herself?
Yes, here.
I hope that you no longer hold yourself to blame. It wasn't your fault. If Basil hadn't drawn a gun in the first place...
He would still be alive.
He would still be in prison together with Claire and J.J. I am better off, Bob, believe me... I have a second chance. And I won't commit myself again without consulting you. Oh, there's a P.S., look.
The full irony. The results of the drilling were good enough for the oil company to carry on. Basil would have made the money anyway. He didn't need to doctor the wildcat. She's found her sense of humor again, Jenny. She's going to be all right. Susie will be all right. Signora Fratelli! Some wine!
That was The Shetland Wildcat, a play for radio by Anthony Keary. The part of Bob Paul was played by Alan Moore, and that of Jenny by Hilary Patterson. The rest of the cast were as follows. Basil, Dennis McCarthy, Susan, Paula Wilcox, Claire, Irene Sutcliffe, Jean-Jacques, Lawrence Payne, Julie, Jennifer Armitage, Dick and the Tool Pusher, Roger Gartland, Celia, Sarah Carthy, Harry, David Ponting, Kenneth, Anthony Keary, Murdo, John Graham, Orvald, Tom Watson, George, Paul Nicholson, and Mrs. Grierson, Margot Young. The Shetland Wildcat, which came from Bristol, was produced by Brian Miller.